except the kicker and receiver. Once the ball is received, everyone can start running. There will be about a 5 yard separation, essentially 5-10 yard separation on the receiving end of the football field, all lined up waiting for the ball to be kicked and received. So we'll touch on all of that and more here as well as our three lead.
Time now for the lead. The lead. The lead. The lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
So let's see. As I kind of mentioned, it's a double lead today. Pelicans, a massive game against OKC. Why? Well, it's the first of six games. There's only 11 left, and it all means something. Pelicans take on the Thunder tonight. OKC 49-21. They are 21-14 away. They're a good team. They're just out of the top spot right now behind Denver. But they've been up around the top most of the season. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander averaging 30 points a game. He is an MVP candidate. On Thursday, take on Milwaukee. You might have heard of Giannis. On Saturday, you face Jason Tatum and the Boston Celtics. You might have heard of them. Tatum's an MVP candidate. Phoenix, Durantula, and them, they're coming in. Phoenix did us a favor today. Lost yesterday. So, to the Spurs, which is the sixth game of the six-game homestand for the Pelicans. And you have the Magic, who beat the Pelicans back on Thursday of last week. Anyway, it's a pretty tough homestand. That said, can you get this one? So we are looking at that. Lakers Bucks tonight. Just looking at the scoreboard, watching as we do. Milwaukee 9.5-point favorites. Labubu, he's got an Yankee, so he's going to sit out. AD is probable. 8 of their last 9, including tonight. 8 of their last 11, rather, on the road for the Lakers. If you follow their reporters, they're basically conceding the 11th seed. They are 2.5 games behind Phoenix. Phoenix is 9 back in 8th. The Lakers are 11.5. So when you look at it, can they make it up? Sure. But I think you're going to see the Lakers do what they're doing now. Rest a game here or there. Is what it is. I don't see them getting out of the play-in. Now, can they get to 6? Can they make a run? You're going to have to jump the Suns, the Mavericks, and the Kings. Clippers and Pels have the same record, 44-27. New Orleans has that advantage by getting that win and getting that series win, which is why it was so big getting that win at L.A. Golden State is in a 10th spot, 14 games back, a full 3.5 behind the Lakers. Here's the thing. They are a half game ahead of Houston. The Warriors are battling to make the postseason. Mavs at the Kings tonight, Lakers at the Bucks, Warriors at the Heat, Thunder at the Pelicans. That is your NBA slate. More on New Orleans coming up with JD at 2:15. If you're just joining us, Dennis Allen spoke today. The main thing being taken from a lot of reporters, and again, 35, 40 plus minutes of chitter chatter, it's the following. Ryan Ramczyk. Remember, he and Mickey Loomis, very optimistic. Met with doctors. He's going to have surgery. Very optimistic. We're good. I said, even if you can get one more year from him, when you already have a player that you already knew you were limiting, if even seeing at all during OTAs or mini camp, and then on training camp, you already had to limit him, and you already know when the season came, he wasn't going to practice on Wednesdays. Like, at some point, you have to start thinking of the right tackle of the future. This was the exchange this morning. It's 2 minutes long with reporters on the latest with Ryan Ramczyk.
Yeah, I think it still remains to be seen. You know what I mean? I don't feel. At the combine a few weeks ago, I was feeling a lot better about it, and yet I don't know that I'm seeing as much progress as I was hoping to see. You know, at this point, so I think that still kind of remains to be seen. But here's the cool thing: we got plenty of time. You know, no different than what we were talking about with Cam and being a veteran player and probably not utilizing necessarily a lot during this OTA and mini camp. You know, I would see the same thing, you know, with Ram too. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see how that all goes as we go through, you know, all the off season and as we get into the training camp aspect.
Is that something that could be a concern maybe going into the season?
Yeah, I think it could be. But again, like we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
Is that, like, did you just not respond to that surgery as well as you guys had hoped, or what caused you to change?
Well, I think more of it's just been visiting with him, and he just isn't quite where I was probably hoping he'd be, and really, quite frankly, where he was hoping he'd be. So, but again, it's a long time before we kick the ball off. So I wouldn't jump to any conclusions right now, but you know, we'll see how it goes over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, whatever that is, before we get to the season.
Could he like potentially need like another procedure?
I don't know that.
I don't know.
That's not been something that we've really discussed.
So the question there at the end, I don't know if you heard it, it was, do you think he's going to maybe need another procedure? Is it something that could be that case or scenario? And he said it hadn't been discussed, and he doesn't know that just yet. Look, obviously, and I understand what Coach is saying. They're not playing for a couple of months and stuff. And he is a vet, and I guess technically you can get yourself healthy, and we'll see you in September or in August for some training camp. You have to draft a right tackle. Don't you? Or a tackle that can play both. I mean, are you comfy? If Coach isn't comfy, if Coach has changed how he's felt and his comfiness has changed in less than a month, are you comfy? I mean, especially hearing from Mickey and DA that the surgery was going to, hey, after this happens, man, we're good. And look, and again, I by no means am I, it stinks, man. It's sad for a player that as a rookie gave up no sacks. It's sad for a player that has to deal with this, not even on the football side of thing, from the personal standpoint of it. I'm sure he probably doesn't feel good. I'm sure whatever degenerative knee issues or just knee issues or whatever it is that it is, stinks to have to deal with it. I don't know about you, but I'm not 32 surgeries in like John Forcade or anything like that, but you know, when we have sore backs or knees or a bruise or something, or you know, we guard in the next day, we can barely bend over. I mean, it stinks, right? It affects your quality of life and everything, so that does stink. That said, it's a business and life goes on. It wouldn't just be prudent. It's almost dereliction of duty if you absolutely don't look into what is the next step at right tackle for the Saints. I mean, kudos to him being open and honest about it. I saw some people post today, why would you let people know that? Look, you're not giving away state secrets here. There's a reason pretty much every mock draft has you drafting an offensive tackle. Everyone knows that and sees that because it's not just Ryan Ramczyk. You don't know what you're getting out of Trevor Penning. The New Orleans Saints are in such desperate need of a tackle. Pick one, left or right. It really doesn't matter. Need one. Can you play both? Same play. Snap on the left side, run over to the right side, pick up a blocker. You have got to address that. One way, shape, or form. Again, there's a lot of hope on both ends. I don't know about you, but hope is hope for a reason. And man, I don't know how much hope I have or faith in that hope. You're hoping and you have faith that a guy in Trevor Penning is going to play like the guy you drafted or thought you can. Hopefully this system, this scheme works. Ross Jackson is going to join us tomorrow. He just confirmed to me at 12:15. Feels that this system may help what maybe his attributes are. The mauler, guy who's very physical. Because when you listen to Dennis Allen today, He talked about the scheme. Give it a listen.
You know, this whole offense is going to be based on, you know, kind of the run, play action game. I mean, obviously, you know, drop back's going to be a part of it. But, you know, the main emphasis is going to be able to run the ball effectively, and then be able to create some shot plays in the passing game off the play action. So I think that's something that we can use. I mean, look, you know, Clint and Rico, John Benton, like these guys have been together before. So I think there's some continuity in terms of getting the program, you know, off the ground and getting started.
There you go. Look, here's the thing, right? If you had to give a, hey, Trevor can do this. It's run, right? And that's why we're like, well, that's fantastic. But the offense under Pete Carmichael and Sean, it's a passing. Well, you just heard what Dennis Allen said. And it's why they probably went that direction too as well. I say this all the time. I know we want to load up the bus and ship half the roster out of town every year. You can't do it. You don't have that many draft picks. You don't have any money. So you're going to have to coach up what you have. You have to make do what you do. And hope that some players improve. And then you add a piece here and a piece there and hope to improve overall your roster. But Trevor Penning's got to be able to do something this season for the Saints. It's hard to find a tackle. The odds of finding two tackles in a draft, because you're not going to be able to find a starting quality left or right tackle in free agency at this point. You got to find one or the other. So you're hoping Penning in this offense can maul, can push, can run, can use his size, can use his physical ability, and he had trouble understanding and grasping and learning the offense per what I've heard. Couldn't remember the plays. So hopefully, since everyone is learning the offense at the same time, this will help him. Hopefully. And then you have got to address tackle in the draft. I mean, you have to, especially with the news today. As Coach just said, it's not progressing where they would want it, and he's not as hopeful. But they're not kicking it off in time just yet, so, okay. John DeShazer, the New Orleans Pelicans and New Orleans Saints, joins us next on ESPN New Orleans.
Attention, Blue Boot Rodeo family. This is Gavin Dugas, LSU baseball champion. Are you ready for a weekend of fun and purpose at the Blue Boot Rodeo? A fishing rodeo that combines family fun with drowning prevention awareness. On July 11th through the 13th at the Tarpon Pavilion in Grand Isle, Louisiana, join us for an unforgettable weekend filled with trophy-worthy fishing, live music, yummy food, and family fun activities, all in the support of Riley John's Blue Boot Foundation. Attending the rodeo is your chance to show support for an outstanding cause while enjoying a weekend of fishing and entertainment. By your support, imagine the impact we can make together in spreading awareness of drowning prevention. Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of something truly special. Purchase your tickets now at www.bluebootrodeo.com or at the rodeo. With your support, we can make the Blue Boot Rodeo the event of the year. Mark your calendars for July 11th to the 13th. Get your tickets and join us for a weekend that we will be talking about for the rest of the summer.
In school sports, it's easy to see the wins, the moments that make headlines. But there's so much work that goes unseen for any of it to happen. My name is Phil Risen, and I'm the executive director of the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. Throughout the country, athletic administrators dedicate countless hours to making life-changing opportunities possible for student-athletes through sports. Their sacrifice is fueled by the belief that every student can grow and deserves their time to shine. On behalf of the NIAAA, we want to thank every athletic administrator for your tireless dedication to providing 7.8 million students across the country a path to a better future.
This message presented by the NIAAA, the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Go ahead, feel your engine. Admire that perfectly installed exhaust. Your vehicle's moving along this freeway like it was made from fresh installs and a whole lot of love. With eBay Motors, you get over 122 million parts to keep it running. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, they'll be the perfect fit every time. Plus, at these prices, well, we're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
As a leader in the oil and gas industry, Joe's Septic Contractors caters to oil field clients offering vacuum truck service for offshore tanks, vessels, or treatment plants containing sewage or gray water. Their rental department offers state-of-the-art offshore portable toilets with cages and certified safety slings for easy maneuvering. Also holding tank rentals and portable hand washing stations. Call Joe's Septic Contractors 24-7 in Cutoff, Thibodaux, Fouchon, Abbeville Reserve, Odessa, Texas, and Pascagoula, Mississippi. Visit Joe's Septic at viscom.net.
Come on, citizens!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Katniss.
Najee, the uncontested rebound. Helmet to Alvarado.
Alley-oop Zion! Two-hand thunder in Detroit. That is a beautiful pass from Jose Alvarado. It was perfect, and Zion finished 8-0 run. Pels are up 25-10.
Pels get the win at Detroit. JD not there, but he was there for the big win in Miami on his way back home here shortly. Joining us from the airport in Florida, John DeShazer. Sir, how are you?
I'm doing well, Cat. How you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm just letting you know, this is my phone ringer now.
Shut the flock up!
Seriously, just does that every time when somebody calls me now. I just love it. It's fantastic. My man, how do you like waking up this morning and seeing the New Orleans Pelicans in fourth of the Western Conference?
Well, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I can take them, obviously, it's a tie, but they have the season series with the Clippers, so, 3-1, so they actually end fourth, but I can take them creating a little bit of space and staying in fourth. But look, if this Pelicans team is healthy, and I said this on the podcast last week, if this team is healthy, I don't mind if they're anywhere except the play-in, because I think they've got what it takes to take a team the distance and maybe win the first round. Only team I don't like for this team matching up-wise is Denver, the champs. And I don't want them to have to come out of the gate against them, but anybody else, man, I feel pretty good with this team and this lineup if it's healthy.
John, if I'd have told you to go 3-1 on a road trip where you lose Brandon Ingram, Zion doesn't play in the fourth quarter in the win at Miami, he has 4 points on that trip. I mean, it's crazy, but they're finding ways to win, and they're capable of winning without their guys. Like, when you look at not having CJ, not having B.I. or Zion on the floor, I want to say when one of those guys is on the floor, they have an above 500 record.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd have told me B.I. was going to miss two games on that road trip, two road games, and you told me Zion was going to score 4 points in the other, I'd have said, well, they might be 2-2, and they'll be lucky if they're 1-3, probably. But this team's got depth, and it's got really good depth. And, we tend to forget how good a player C.J. McCollum can be. I mean, I know he went through a little bit of a shooting slump, but he gives you 30 at Miami and he gives you 23 again at Detroit. And we tend to forget that he is an effective player. And you get the bonus performances from Jose Alvarado and Najee Marshall. And, even when Trey Murphy doesn't shoot it well, you can overcome that because this team is really, really deep with quality players. And it's got a legit 9-10-man rotation. I know that Coach Green has only been playing 9-man rotation. If you can go 10 deep, you might be able to go 11 deep on this team and not feel uncomfortable with going that deep.
JD, what about this? Because I do get this a lot, and I'm sure you do as well. That's fantastic. They beat teams that, aren't the top teams in the league and things of that nature. Now we're about to see. Well, what do you say to the folks that still aren't buying in that this team is good because they haven't beaten, Boston?
Well, here's what I would say to them. Who do you think Denver's beating up on? Who do you think Boston's beating up on? You're supposed to beat the teams that are lesser than you, and that's what the Pelicans are doing. They're taking care of that business. And then if you can split with the teams that are kind of even with you, the 3-1 against the Clippers, they're a team that has given the Lakers fits over the last couple of years. They're a team that's actually played Denver well over the last few years. So, the only team you can beat is the team that's on the schedule. And I don't care if that team's stripped down because The Pelicans have been hurt for the last three, 4 years in a row where they haven't had guys. Only team you can beat is the team that's in front of you. The only team you can beat is the team on the schedule that night. So I don't feel bad if a team is weakened because they don't have certain players or whatever. That's the only team you can beat is the one that goes on the floor. And we've seen the teams take advantage of the Pelicans in the exact same situation. So I ain't going to apologize for it. If they want to feel bad about it, let them. I don't care. I don't feel bad about winning games, however you're able to win games in the NBA.
Speak with John DeShazer, color analyst of the New Orleans Pelicans. Also, with NewOrleansSaints.com, flying home from the owners' meetings. We'll talk about that here to wrap up the segment. But, J.D., here's the six-game homestand. Here they are. You know me. I'd love 3-3. Of course, I'd love more. But if you play 500 balls, the reason I'm saying it, just makes it harder for other teams to catch you. And my goal's top six, right? You get that first-round series secured. Realistically, when you look at the opponents they have here, can you even do that? You have to look at it one game at a time.
You got to look one game at a time. And I mean, at the end of it, then you look up and see where you are. But, I mean, because this is a meat grinder. I mean, this is where the rubber really meets the road. And I understand, you know, if you're the Pelicans, this is kind of where you show your wares. They've been a better road team than they had been a home team. I'm not exactly sure why, but they've been a better road team than home team. And, oh, by the way, when they've had long road trips, the first game after the road trip, which is what tonight will be, has not been very kind to them. So, yeah, you're playing very quality opponents. You're playing them at home. But this is also a time that your juices should be flowing, because if you're the Pelicans, this is exactly what you want. You want to have quality teams playing on your home court with something to play for late into the season. I can't think of a situation that's going to feel more like the playoffs, and I can't think of a situation that should have them more revved up, because here's a chance to show exactly who you are. Yeah, people have been saying you haven't been beating anybody. Now, you have, but people have been saying that. So here's a chance to go on your home court and show people, look, this is the kind of team we have against these kind of quality opponents. Every team the Pelicans play is beatable. They match up well with OKC. They actually match up decent with Boston. Now, Boston's a team that shoots a ton of threes, which they did in Boston. But if you get them on that night where the threes aren't falling, they might give you a game like they gave the Hawks the other night. Yeah. Was it last night where they gave up a 30-point lead? They're a team that's centered around shooting threes. You played Milwaukee. Milwaukee ran you off the court in Milwaukee. So you ought to feel some kind of way about playing Milwaukee at home. But, I mean, every team the Pelicans are playing is beatable. They've got to concentrate and focus. And the Pelicans have to shoot the ball pretty well, too, because they can't be another 6-for-20 from three like they were in Orlando, or 4-for-22 from three as they were against Cleveland. Those are games where they get run out. If the Pelicans can make 12, 13, 14 threes, they're going to be in most games. And if they make 15, 16 threes, they're probably going to win the game. So, you know, they've got a little something. I don't necessarily want to say they got something to prove, but you do want to run with the big dogs. I mean, these are the teams, if you want to beat a man, as Ric Flair would say, you got to beat the man. And these are the teams that are considered the man, quote-unquote, in the NBA, especially Boston and Milwaukee, two teams that everybody thinks might be in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
So those are the kinds of teams you want to have a good showing against. You want to be able to beat on your home court. And, you know, I always say, being a good team, a really good team, starts being at home. You want to make people dread coming into your place. You don't want people to believe they can come to your place and get a win, or they want to, you know, when they come out of there, they're going to be, you know, bruised up and scratched up, because it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a real tough task to win on your court. So these six, you know, will tell us a lot about the Pelicans, and you want to stay in that 5-6 range, somewhere in there, 4-5-6. Because, as you mentioned, I don't want to see this team getting a play-in. And I understand they will have one more regular season games, but that ain't the progress I'm looking for. And that's not the progress this team is looking for. Yeah. They're not looking for play-in number 7 seed progress. They're looking for 6 seed and above getting to a playoff series progress.
It starts tonight, too. You mentioned Milwaukee and Boston. Those are marquee names. Those are teams that have been in the finals recently, or even won it when it comes to the Bucks. But, J.D., you know this. And the grass has been warning of them for almost a season and a half about the Thunder. They have been among the top teams in the Western Conference all season long. Give me one key matchup to keep an eye on tonight.
It's going to be – and I won't say Herb and Shea, because I think Herb – Jones is going to do a great job against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is the guy who gets you 30 a night. One way or the other, he's probably going to get there, and a lot of times it's because he gets 10, 12, 14 free throws. But I think the matchup is going to be Chet Holmgren against the Pels bigs, because Chet Holmgren, you know, quietly under the radar, not really under the radar, but he's not going to win Rookie of the Year. That's going to be Wimby. But he plays really good basketball, and he's the kind of center that can give the Pelicans problems, because he's mobile, he can shoot the three, he's a guy who rim runs, he's a guy who's really agile, he blocks shots, he rebounds, so he can give you some difficulty, and I think he's a guy that you have to keep under control somewhat. Because you know what you're going to get out of Jay Williams. I think Jay Williams is a really good player. You know what you're going to get there if you're OKC. And you know Josh Giddey's probably going to give him 10, 12 points and 6, 7 assists, that kind of thing. But Chet Holmgren, to me, is kind of the wild card that makes them a really good team, because Gilgeous Alexander is going to do his thing. He's going to get his, and it's going to be hard to stop him from getting his. If anybody can do it, it's going to be Herb, but it's going to be a tall task to ask to keep him under 28 or so, because, again, he's got the mid-range game going. Ain't much on shooting threes, but he's got the midi going, and he makes all his free throws because he gets to the line so often. And unfortunately, we've seen over the course of this season where Herb can pick up a cheap foul or two. And if Herb's not guarding him, and I know you play a lot of matchups and a lot of switching up on defense, but Herb's got to be the primary guy, because he's got the length and the strength and the athleticism and the great footwork to be able to kind of control a guy like that.
Final question for you, sir. As you're coming back from the owners' meetings, so much to get into, the hip drop tackle, new kickoff rule, all of that and stuff, but judging by social media, most Saints fans probably in the 40-something minutes that Dennis Allen spoke didn't care to hear about the latest Ryan Ramczyk. What's the one thing that stood out to you from that, or just anything else that Coach D.A. spoke about?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, because I don't think anyone was expecting him to say, you know, I don't know if Ryan Ramczyk has regressed, but he obviously has not progressed very much from that surgery. And that's a concerning thing, because that's your starting right tackle. He's been a former All-Pro, and I don't necessarily know if there is a replacement, you know, that they feel really great about. I understand Landon Young has played there before, and you know, if it comes to it, you know, James Hurst could play there, but Ryan Ramczyk is who he is, and if he's not whole, then obviously you have a dip there, a severe dip there. So that was a huge thing to me. You know, and you know, now Willie Gay Jr. having an opportunity to start at linebacker, that kind of throws up some flares, because if he's saying he's got an opportunity to start for this defense, and if it's going to be at linebacker, either they're going to add a linebacker to the lineup, or it's going to be him fighting Pete Werner, because it ain't going to be him fighting DeMario Davis for a job, right?
Yep.
So it's going to be him and Pete Werner. And Pete Werner has played really good football for the Saints. So that could be something to watch, obviously, in training camp, because Pete Werner has played really good ball for the Saints. And for him to have to compete for his job tells you the regard they have for Willie Gay Jr. But it also tells you that Willie Gay Jr. better be a player, which he has been for KC. But he better be a player. He better bring it, because Pete Werner ain't just going to hand over a job. And so Saints are talking about putting him on the field. Either they're going to go to a 4-3 and get you know, three linebackers on the field, or he's going to beat Pete Werner out. And even if he beats him out, I'm sure Werner or Gay, one or the other, will play a decent amount of snaps.
Sure.
But still, you know, there's something to be said, you know, when you have that competition, it's probably going to be those two guys. So, you know, that jumped out. But the Ramczyk news is a little disconcerting. I mean, I know it's early, and there's a long way to go to training camp in the regular season, and they might be able to manage him by then, and, maybe he can, you know, get his knee back together. But that's a little bit concerning. I know they've been nursing him for the last couple of years where he doesn't have to practice on Wednesdays, and they take it light on him. He gets the vet days in training camp, and, you know, they've been trying to manage it as best they can for the last several years. But to hear he had some surgery that was supposed to make it better, and the surgery hadn't made it better right now, that's a little concerning.
Well, you know me, I love to give advice. As the graph likes to say, I like to play a lot of different things. Here it is. I'm going to be give you some advice here. Go ahead and just start writing up a little something for NewOrleansSaints.com on maybe the top five tackles. How about that? Because my guess is the Saints likely will draft a tackle. It wouldn't hurt you, right? On this flight home, just go ahead and write a couple of paragraphs, get ahead of the game for the draft, sir.
Look here, if nobody in that room, in that board room, in that draft room asked me, but I'm taking tackles. And then the next pick, I'm taking a tackle. And then maybe the next pick, I'm taking a tackle. Because you got to have right now, you don't feel great about left tackle. I don't know how they feel about Trevor Penning, but, you know, there's some unease there. Now you have the unease with Ryan Ramczyk. This team is going to have some tackles. I know you don't like to – I know that they don't like to draft for need because, you know, when you draft for need, you start reaching instead of the best available. But, look, I certainly hope for their sake that the best available is a tackle.
This just in, the New Orleans Saints need a tackle. I'm with you. Best available. Get a tackle. John DeShazer, I will leave you with some good news. I just saw this and failed to mention it. Dyson Daniels will make his return to the court this week. Christian Clark reporting he will play for the squadron tomorrow. Pelicans say, and he last played February 9th. So coming back from a torn meniscus, JD, that's great news. If he's playing a game tomorrow, that means, my guess, you will see Dyson Daniels in his homestand.
Absolutely, I believe that's the case. And to get him back gives you back another elite defender. And before he got injured, he's had started to score a little bit better, too. But you need as many elite defenders as you can possibly get in the NBA nowadays.
Especially on this homestand. JD, safe travels, sir. Thank you for your time today, man.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate it. John DeShazer, NewOrleansSaints.com and Pelicans color analyst. Don't forget the game tonight is on Bounce TV. Bounce TV, so the digital channel or however ways you also have it here. I know Cox has it. I think DirecTV is the only one that doesn't have it. But anyway, just giving you the heads up. 7 o'clock. If not, we'll see you at the Blender. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
It's here, the 2024 NOLA Gold Rugby season. New head coach Corey Brown has the boys focused on earning a spot in the playoffs. And we want you at the Gold Mine. Every home game is an event with families in mind, and after the whistle, head to the party shack, mingle with players, and collect autographs. Don't miss Major League Rugby and entertainment at an affordable price. Get your tickets now and be a part of NOLA Gold Rugby. Secure yours at NOLAGoldRugby.com.
With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Charles Barkley in a pickup game.
We'll take Barkley.
Ha! First pick! Sorry, kids!
Yep, even easier than that. With no fees or minimums and no overdraft fees, is it even a decision?
Okay, here's the plan. Pass me the ball every time.
This is banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One and a member FDIC.
Evan, Canty, and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Did someone just get a text on here?
It was someone on my Wordle chat.
Your what?
Hold on, the Wordle chat?
My Wordle chat.
At 6:01 a.m.?
Yeah, shout out to Tommy. Got it in three today.
Okay.
Wait a minute. You have a Wordle chat?
I do,
have a conversation with Tommy about text message etiquette.
You send your score every day to hold each other accountable. Hey, right. I did it. And then we complain about the Wordle. Oh, double lead today. I can't believe it.
Unsportsmanlike. Weekday morning starting at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN2.
Driveways, pave it. Parking lots, pave it. Streets, pave it. Whatever you have Chris's Paving, the expert paving contractor, pave it. Locally owned and operated, Chris's Paving started in 97. Driveways, overlays, parking lot resurfacing, asphalt, or concrete, which only an expert can deliver. No jobs too big or too small. The asphalt and concrete paving contractor for the Bayou region. Paving it? Call 985-960-2131 or just roll on over to chrispaving.com. Now,
they say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
800-998-1003 is the way to chime into the conversation on the Rudiman Can guest and hotline. 800-998-1003, buddy. Taking your phone calls over to the LaRose Studios. What do you think of that? Dyson Daniels playing tomorrow for the squadron, which means, my guess, I mean, you're going to see him. The homestand, it's about getting his conditioning, getting back into it. Maybe you'll see him Saturday against Boston. I mean, we've seen Jordan Hawkins play one night and be back the very next day for a game. He could play Thursday against Milwaukee. I guess they're probably going to see how he acclimates and gets playing tomorrow in Birmingham, but... yeah, man, it'd be fantastic to get him against Boston on Saturday night, if not Phoenix on Monday. Either way, go. The fact he's playing a basketball game tomorrow, ought to make you feel real good if you're a Pels fan about when you're going to get Dyson Daniels back. And as JD just said, that means bringing back an elite defender, a guy that can absolutely help you on the defensive end. And with the six games that you're facing here, and again, San Antonio beat Phoenix yesterday. They went up early 10. You got the Suns, who I just saw on NBA Today, Devin Booker, is saying that he thinks the team's feeling the pressure right now towards the end of the season, and that's what I'm getting at right now. The Pels are playing confident. They're playing loose. They're playing in a way that we really hadn't seen them sort of play towards the end of the season, and you're seeing teams below them kind of not in that same boat. LeBron sitting out tonight in Milwaukee for the Lakers. There are the Pelicans' final game of the regular season. They're two games out of ten, ahead in the tenth, in a ninth spot from 10 of the Warriors, who are just a half game ahead of the Houston Rockets. Golden State may not make the postseason. They got some work to do. And oh, by the way, the Houston Rockets have won 9 in a row. 9 in a row, the Houston Rockets. Be a pretty dangerous team if they do get into the play-in from that aspect of it. And as we've just been playing and talking about, John DeShazer said the thing that did stand out today was indeed what we just were listening about and talking about it, but the fact that Ryan Ramczyk has not responded to the surgery that he had that the team was hoping would solve or at least help progress that knee situation. Here's the back and forth with Dennis Allen and reporters this morning.
Yeah, I think it still remains to be seen. You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't feel. You know, at the combine a few weeks ago, I was feeling a lot better about it. And yet I don't know that I'm seeing as much progress as I was hoping to see, you know, at this point. So I think that still kind of remains to be seen. But here's the cool thing. We've got plenty of time, you know, no different than what we were talking about with Cam and being a veteran player and you know, probably not utilizing necessarily a lot during this OTA and mini camp. You know, I would see the same thing, you know, with Ram too. So I think we're just going to have to wait and see how that all goes as we go through, you know, all the off season and as we get into the training camp aspect.
Is that something that could be a concern maybe going into the season about?
Yeah, I think it could be. But again, like, we'll just have to kind of wait and see.
Is that, like, did you just not respond to that surgery as well as you guys had hoped? Or what kind of, what caused you to change a little bit?
Well, I think more of it's just been visiting with him and he just isn't quite where I was probably hoping he'd be. And really, quite frankly, where he was hoping he'd be. So, but again, it's a long time before we kick the ball off. So I wouldn't jump to any conclusions right now, but you know, we'll see how it goes over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 months, whatever that is, before we get to the season.
Could he, like, potentially need, like, another procedure?
I don't know that.
I don't know.
That's not been something that we've really discussed.
All right. So that was one of the big aspects of it. And John said the other thing that stood out to him was Dennis Allen talking about Willie Gay, what he wants competition-wise. And I agree with him. When I heard this, I'm like, that sounds to me like Pete Werner's spot.
Here's what I really appreciated was, you know, there was no expectation on his part that he's going to be coming in here and handed a job. And yet there's no expectation that he's just going to come in and be a backup necessarily either. So, you know, he's excited about the opportunity to come in and compete. He wants that opportunity, and we're going to give him the opportunity. And look, that stuff will play out, you know, throughout the course of, you know, OTAs, mini camp, training camp, preseason games. And then we'll evaluate where we're at. And the cool thing is we got enough good football players, we'll find ways to utilize them and get them active and get them being productive.
Yeah, and again, he expanded on it.
Well, look, I think he's a guy that's going to be competing to be a starter on our defense. I think that, with bringing him on board, you have Willie, you have DeMario, you have Pete Warner. Those are three guys that I know, have played a lot of football in our league and played at a high level in our league. And I think that gives us a little bit more depth and it gives us some more options and things that we can do.
So there, gives you an idea from that aspect of it. Chase Young, he also spoke with them. It was the first thing he was asked about this morning at the owners' meetings, and just overall the signing and then the injury.
He was a guy that we were looking at that, look, I don't know that I really knew that he was going to be available. And then we quickly found out that, he was going to be available and he was going to be in a range that we felt like, we could get to. I think he's extremely talented. I think he's extremely motivated. We had a great visit with him. Had dinner with him the night before, then brought him over. Obviously did all the medical. And I just think he's going to be a really good asset, for our defense.
As for the injury, did you know about it?
We knew that, he was going to have this surgery. And I think the good thing for all of us involved was everybody that we talked to felt like, look, it's not a matter of if he's going to heal and be fine. It was just a matter of when. I think we're kind of comfortable with the timelines that we have, and yet, it's a human body. It's going to heal at its own rate, but I know he's going to do everything he can to get himself back and get himself ready as quickly as possible.
All right, so there you go. We'll discuss this a little bit more, obviously, with John, the chef, and others over at Francesca by Katie's Deli and Pizzeria and Catering. Didn't forget Chef Scotty. Looking forward to seeing there on Thursday. And hope you come out and have a little lunch here as well. When we come back, Jack, it was good seeing you at Katie's last week. We may see you at the deli on Thursday, but we'll go to you next. We come back on the Rudiman Can Hotline, 800-998-1003. Final segment when we return on the Sports Hangover.
It's Ram Truck Month at Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat in Houma. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Rams, long-lasting new pickups, or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Whether you need a truck for work or home life, the Ram will do its job. Southland Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Houma. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cutoff, your hometown eye care specialist, is happy to announce the addition of another hometown eye care provider in Dr. Tana LaFont to our office. Dr. LaFont is happy to be back home in South Lafourche to provide eye care services for the community. Call the office at 985-632-2884 to make your appointment today. Dr. Darby Chasson and Dr. Tana LaFont look forward to providing the best eye care services to their hometown for years to come. Visit us at 16140 West Main Street in Cutoff.
You guys just didn't want it bad enough. That should have been an easy win. What were you doing out there? You got to hustle. You could have made that play if you'd been open.
On the car ride home after the game, when you think you're helping by telling me what I did wrong and what I need to work on, all I hear is that I'm not good enough, that I'm supposed to be perfect, that it's not okay to lose. On the car ride home, all I need to hear is how much you love me and enjoy watching me play, that my worth isn't determined by my performance, that even on my worst day, I am worthy, that you see me learning, growing, and doing my best. And that is enough.
This message presented by the LHSAA and the Louisiana High School Athletic Directors Association.
Sink or tub stopped up? Can't get it to drain? You know who can?
Rudiman can!
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Jack, we'll let you close out the show here in a quick second. Got to pass along some news. Our thanks to our good friend Derek DeLate. Or DeLatte. Jeez and Pete, why do I not know how to say your last name? I always mess it up, don't I? Apologies, Derek. At the end... Here, it's going to be cool to go check out if you like high school baseball, especially tonight, 7:30 over at Kirsch Rooney. It's a rematch of the state championship, Jesuit and Rummel. And Jack, I don't know if you follow high school baseball. I know you follow college baseball. But Rummel starter Giancarlo Arancibia, I'm assuming, he signed with Tulane, throws a low 90s, hasn't given up a hit in the last two outings. He's pitching tonight for Rummel. He's going to Tulane. Jesuit won the first game back on Saturday of this two-game set. Rummel, by the way, has four D1 commitments per Derek. Mike Ryan, LSU. Evan Berg, Tulane. So two are going to Tulane. Gavin Nix to Louisiana Tech, along with Enrin Sibia, who is heading to Tulane as well. So, man, if you like your high school baseball or Wave fans, you want to go check out... If you're not going to Southern Miss to check out Tulane and the Golden Eagles in Hattiesburg, you want to go see two future Tulane players play at Rummel. It'll be over at Kirsch Rooney coming up at 7:30. Thanks for passing along the info, Derek. Jack, what you got, man?
Hey, Josh, sounds like the Wave have something to look forward to in baseball.
Yeah, it's nice.
That sounds good. Hey, Gus, I think John DeShazer overlooked something when he was talking about the Willie Gay signing. At some point, DeMario's going to realize that he's 4 months from his 36th birthday when the season starts. Now, I realize, you wouldn't have long to call the roll when you're looking for starting linebacks to the NFL at that age, especially at the level he's played at most of his career.
Yeah. Yes, you're right. I hear you. Look, man, it goes back to what we've been saying, though, Jack. I got $5, and I'm going to a carnival right now, and I can only get so much. You know what I mean? It's like, it's what I keep saying, man, and it's why I will go toe-to-toe with people like, oh, stop focusing on the cat. It is what it is. It is. It's the amount that you can spend, period. You're right.
And, yeah. And look, I'm glad to hear DA show a little, you know, give you a little honesty about the Ramczyk situation, but you can't tell me, you can't tell me that they're not disappointed in the two young offensive linemen, Penny and the kid they drafted last year. They have to be. I believe that's mainly the reason why Doug Marrone isn't back as the offensive line coach. He was a good offensive line coach for a long, long time, and suddenly he doesn't know how to coach offensive line. Mm-hmm. I think he was scapegoated. So it would be nice if those guys turned into something. But
yeah.
I would spend. I think John said it. I'd spend. I don't know if I draft all tackles, but I'd spend a large part of this draft on the offensive line. That's just me.
No, look, Jeff Duncan just tweeted 1A, 1B. You just heard John DeShazer say, first round pick, tackle. Second round pick, tackle. Then he said he might go tackle again. Right. And that's what I'm getting at. Look, and you're going to hear, I wouldn't call it rhetoric, but you're going to hear, hey, we're looking into, I hear you. You look everywhere else. I'm just telling you, I would rather pick another bum tackle. And I'm not saying any, I'm just saying, like, I'd rather strike out than not attempt to find a tackle at 14. You know what I'm saying? So he's the third best tackle. So he's the fourth best tackle. And this other guy has a higher... Literally, I could care less about the RAS numbers, who's higher on the board. Like, unless that tackle that happens to be available at 14 is ranked 25th or below above other players. Like, if you have 24 other players above you... then maybe I don't take him. But I probably still would take him. Jack, you have got to put a body. You need a body. I mean, you've got to. There's no way you're going to tell me at 14 that you can't find a tackle that at the very least can come out and play. I mean, because look, you went and, you know, got Trevor Penning, and right now you don't know. So I would rather at least try than not. So I'm with you. I just think come heck or high water, the next best available tackle that is on the board, take him. Period, end of story. That's literally where I'm at with that.
And, Gus, for the rest of the draft, I would say if it's close, take an offensive lineman. But if it's not, there's enough holes in this roster where they need to take best player available. But, Gus, thanks for taking my call. I know you got to go. Have a good afternoon.
Yep, appreciate it as well, as always. One of the things that's going to be locked and loaded, as we said, went to kind of give you the little of what was going on here over at the owners' meetings and what was said about, again, it's the thing, right, that you're going to be looking at from here on out. Now, from here on out, it's different pro days. LSU's pro day, I believe, is Wednesday. And then just a few more weeks until the draft. It's not that far away when you think about it. It's April next Monday. So this coming Thursday is the 28th, April 4th, then April 11th, then April 18th, then April 25th. That is the NFL draft. It's always the week. It's also the week of the Zurich Classic of New Orleans. So let's call it 4 weeks from now. Let's call it 4 weeks from this week, right? So not this Thursday, but 4 weeks from Thursday is the NFL draft in the Zurich Classic of New Orleans first round. So you got 4 weeks to figure it out, go to pro days, get your tape together, and go do that. But the Saints have got to do that. In the meantime, one of the reasons we're focusing on that is because I'm telling you, the next 15, 20 days, it's going to be very NBA heavy in the city, and especially on the show here with the New Orleans Pelicans. Rod Walker just made the observation. He's absolutely right. I know this just because my life goes by with the schedule and the calendar. But the Pelicans are going to be playing every other day for the next 9 games. They have 11 left. After that 9th game against the Kings, they play the Warriors the next day, then wrap up the season 2 days later against the Lakers. So that's 11 games over the next 21 days. It is a lot of basketball in a short amount of time. But if you're listening, Pels fans, the good news is tomorrow, Dyson Daniels will play for the Squadron. So he's going to play in a game tomorrow, which means I think you're going to see him easily during this home game, this homestand, 6-game homestand. Starts tonight against OKC, 7 o'clock. We'll talk about it tomorrow. Thank you for tuning us in. Matt Moscona, now the further review is next on ESPN New Orleans.